quarter to six coming up on 14 before 26 degrees. Time for the best 5 minutes of the day on your Christmas station, WWIB and WIB.com. Jason Cairns, good morning.
Good morning.
It is early on this Friday, a little warmer, temperatures 26. You got to feel excited today. I mean, you get to go back to work.
It's mixed.
Okay.
You called me a little while ago, and I was still in bed. And if I had my druthers, I would still be in bed. But no, I'm glad to be going back to work today. I think there's something about seeing folks in person that really is much better for me, and I think better for them. And so I'm looking forward to being back in the office and hopefully getting back into the rhythm of things a little bit again.
So now, as a neuropsychologist, I mean, you the folks you see, are they called patients?
Yes, typically okay. That's the one I would refer to them. So
not clients, patients. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
All right. Well, we wish you well. I know you've been kind of pent up there for a while. So
it's been a while. Yeah. So it's been what, 10 days or something like that?
Yeah.
That we've been pent up. So
right.
It's been longest I've ever been out for anything health wise, including when I had my appendix out.
Yeah. Mm.
So. That's telling.
When I don't remember, when did you have your appendix out?
I think that was about 3 or 4 years ago now.
Okay.
All right. I think that was almost a week or something like that.
All right. Well, I want to shift today. I want to just, we've been doing Luke 2, but as I look back in my notes, I think we did that last year. And nothing against the Christmas story, but I think people are largely familiar. And so I thought, I don't think we have not done John 1. You're a big John guy, John 13 through 17. What Notes from the Upper Room was on, the book, the devotions.
Yep.
And so I think let's turn that direction. Very fitting here leading into Christmas, don't you think?
Sure. You sure? It sounds good.
All right. So all we're going to ask for is John 1. But I'm going to start because in Letters to the Beloved, in your devotional commentary, you've got a prelude for John. It goes like this. John, the beloved, one of my son's closest friends. You're writing, obviously, as if God was talking to you. Wrote the fourth gospel. The first three gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, bear similar markings. As I said previously, the others are synoptic, meaning that the authors wrote them from similar points of view. But not so with John, although he accurately wrote about my son just as the others had. His emphases were different. That's the beauty of my son. There's so much of him to see.
And then verse 1 says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Mm-hmm. All right, so there's a good-sized paragraph here for John 1:1. I guess if I read it, we'll get your commentary on it, okay?
Sure.
Your commentary on the commentary. John's opening is one of the most magnificent pieces of writing ever put down on paper. Echoing Genesis 1, John wrote, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Beloved, there's so much packed in that short sentence. As the second member of the Trinity, my son is eternal. There was never a time when we were not one. He's the divine logos, the embodiment of wisdom, knowledge, reason, logic, poetry, and beauty. Perfect love has always existed between Father, Son, and Spirit, yet I am one God, not three separate entities. I know it's difficult to grasp the nature of the Trinity. That's okay. I'm infinite and you are not. Simply understand that I am everlasting love.
I think my only commentary is yes. You know, I read that and that there's just so much packed into that. And, the idea that God has existed eternally in perfect relationship, in beauty and logic and reason and all of those things is so important for us to remember.
I think that verse is a great advertisement for your Letters to the Beloved devotional commentary because it takes a verse which is well-known, deservedly so. It's a verse that is kind of a dividing line between Christians and Jehovah's Witnesses, right? Because they say, was a God, and they have the New World Translation. But, you know, I find myself reading, this devotional commentary, which imagined as if God himself were helping you understand it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the Lord putting his arm around you and saying, I know it's hard to understand the Trinity. That's kind of encouraging.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And it is, right?
I mean,
that's exactly right. And
But
I think even that last line there, simply understand that I am everlasting love. You know, that man.
Uh-huh.
That's so true of God.
Fantastic. All right. Well, appreciate it. God's grace in your return to work, and hopefully we'll see you tomorrow morning. All right.
Sounds good.
There we go. Our friend Jason Cairns, on his way back, he's fulfilled the whole protocol for the sickness and back with the patients, WWIB. Well, this is the time of gift giving, and some thoughts this morning, how to become a truly excellent gift giver. It's a special kind of agony to realize while exchanging gifts with someone that they got you something way, way better than what you got them. But price isn't what's important, most important at least. What's important, they talk about, it's the thought that counts. But what's important is trying to match the right gift to the right person, right?
Just showing, again, that you care about others, too. So not thinking about, well, how much did you spend? But again, just something truly thoughtful. And I think that's the point of gift giving, right, is to show that you care. Mm-hmm. So there's some different boxes you try and tick off when you're trying to become, again, excellent at being a gift giver, not for praise from others, but to truly honor them. So first, can you introduce someone to something they might not otherwise know about? Mm-hmm. Or, ask yourself that question. Can I introduce them to something that they might not otherwise know about? Something new, exciting.
I think this next one definitely comes into play. Can you get them a nicer version of something than they would buy for themselves? Mm. So it might be, let's just say a massage or something. I mean, they maybe would never get that themselves, but you give them something that like that, you know?
A simple question, too, to ask yourself, trying to become an excellent gift giver, your giftee, can I make them feel seen? Uh-huh. That, hey, you noticed this about me. You noticed that I like this. You noticed that I need this, or that maybe I don't take time for myself, and this would help me do that.
Have you noticed that some people in the family or in the workplace are really good gift givers? Here's probably something they do. Keeping a running list of gift ideas, right? The great gift givers always doing the legwork throughout the year.
That's so my mom.
Not just in the weeks leading up to a major holiday or a birthday. So keep those lists and go and maybe even get that item and hold it.
Yeah. And then again, just a couple other notes here too. They say don't stress about gifts from people that you don't know well. If you haven't gotten to know them well enough yet, they said, hey, from an etiquette standpoint, maybe you can try personalizing gifts to people you don't know very well yet without getting, too personal. So for a coworker, a signed greeting card and a gift card aligned with their interests can be, a good option. Say, hey, hoping to get to know you more, but just had that personal touch. I mean, we talk about something handwritten, right? So
there you go. I think 2 weeks from today, this will be the time for our WIB Wake Up Show Christmas Gift Exchange. It's, it'll be Friday, December 23rd. So there we go. We got 2 weeks.
I'm actually off that day. So
you're
clear. Have fun without me.
Sure.
Right around this time every single week, we bring it to you what you might have missed in news, sports, politics, pop culture. We get you caught up in condensed form. It's called Headlines. Here we go.
Caleb, researchers say to beat procrastination, just start. Not long after you do, the pain area of your brain accepts that it's not so bad.
This is totally true. It's how I get myself to shift from the couch to the recliner 3 hours into watching football. According to a report, Americans' reading proficiency is declining at troubling rates.
On the other hand, we have remarkably proficient remote control thumbs.
America.
Mm-hmm. Researchers say blue whales need to eat the equivalent of 80,000 Big Macs every day.
And this is why we rarely see them on the surface. They're always down in the drive-thru.
Underwater golden arches.
It's science. A new report says that Americans spend over a year of their lives channel surfing.
I finally have an answer from my doctor the next time he tells me I need a hobby.
Right?
The top baby boy and girl names of 2022 will soon be revealed.
Congratulations, Tesla and Pumpkin Spice.
A far cry from John and Mary.
According to the latest statistics, the state with the shortest lifespan is Mississippi at only 71.9 years.
But nearly 72 years in Mississippi is long enough for anybody.
Right.
And finally this morning, research indicates that eating late at night damages your memory.
Which explains why no one ever seems to remember being the one to eat that last slice of cake.
There you go.
Those are your headlines, and now you're all caught up.
All right, a little challenge going into the best of the week, because Wednesday, due to technical difficulties, we didn't have access to some of the fine content that show unveiled. But nonetheless, this is this week's best of the week. Ah, sugar. Specifically sugary cereal.
They say a spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down. Someone wise said that.
Yeah, that's for
Mary
sure.
Mary Poppins.
We're going to run you through the top 10 most sugary cereals and tell you along the way what percentage of that cereal is sugar. Here we go. Number 10, most sugary cereal, Cocoa Krispies, 39% sugar.
This is number 10, and it's already at 39% sugar.
Why did the bicycle not stand on its own?
Why could the bicycle not stand on its own? Let's find out, Caleb.
was too tired.
Too tired. There we go. Giannis.
How about apple cinnamon Cheerios? Delicious. I have not had those for a long time. 40% sugar based on a 3/4 cup serving.
The number 8 most sugary cereal, and a bit of a tie here. You got Corn Pops, Fruit Loops, Lucky Charms, and Reese's Puffs, all with 41% sugar.
Those are all delicious. You've gotten me Reese's Puffs for my birthday before.
Mm-hmm.
Merriam-Webster came out with their word of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not based on what they thought should be the word of the year, but just based on the number of times people looked this up. And so their word was gaslighting.
Right.
But now there's the Oxford Dictionary.
Right, and they have announced, I'd never heard, Goblin Mode as its word of the year for this year, chosen by public vote.
So that's a little bit different methodology, public vote. Goblin Mode, the 2022 word of the year for Oxford Dictionaries. Zero idea, and for one thing, initially, I raised the clamor and cry, that is two words. It's not hyphenated. So how is it the word of the year?
I don't know. But I had to ask you what it means. What does it mean?
So goblin mode, I had to look this up. The phrase is defined as a type of behavior which is unapologetically self-indulgent. Yikes. Also lazy, slovenly, or greedy. The phrase, I'm not going to call it a word. The phrase goblin mode gained popularity in 2022 as people emerged from pandemic lockdowns. Apparently much the worse for the wear. Goblin mode. How about Captain Crunch Crunch Berries? 42% sugar. That comes in at number 7 on this list.
Number 6, most sugary cereal, Apple Jacks and S'more cereal. Never tried it. 43% sugar.
Okay. Why did the orange lose the race?
Why did the orange lose the race? Are we ready? Here we go.
Nobody gonna ask why. Somebody gonna say why.
Yeah.
He ran out of juice.
Oh, boy.
Opening up the mail yesterday, and I see that, from the city of Eau Claire, and Athena and Wesley, our two dogs, our mini Aussie Shepherd and mini Poodle, they each owe $40.
Oh.
$40, like annual licensing. And I said to Peggy, Athena's old enough, I think she could pay her own bill.
Right.
And Peggy said she's only 4. And I'm like, 28 in dog years.
Yeah, I mean, she's still living in your home, too.
Right.
So
exactly.
HoneyGram owes. I basically think it's graham crackers made into a Cheerio-type shape.
Okay.
But also, they're tied with regular Captain Crunch, Cocoa Puffs, and Count Chocula.
Huh.
44% sugar in all of those. And tomorrow, the announcement of who is the time person of the year. Are we making our guesses
about it.
I think it's going to be Zelensky.
Yeah. I mean, in the end, I'm going to agree with you that it's going to be Zelensky. All right, so the person of the year, you chose Zelensky first. I went along with you. We were right, so we'll take that. Quaker Oats, Cap'n Crunch, oops, all berries, 47%.
Oops, we put more sugar in it, too. I literally just asked Cooper over the weekend if he would like this cereal. Kellogg's Fruit Loops with marshmallows. Fruit Loops with marshmallows were getting close to 50%. 48% sugar in a 3/4 cup.
Of course he likes it. The number 2 most sugary cereal is Post Golden Crisp. 50. We've crossed the 50% mark. 52% sugar.
And finally, and I do remember this one from actually summer camp. Yeah, I remember my friend Anthony loved these with 56% sugar. Most sugary cereals, Honey Smacks.
Wow. Yeah, this Kellogg's product has 15 grams of sugar per serving. Appropriately enough, it launched in 1953 as, wait for it, Sugar Smacks. Dig them.
No, we've just made it slightly more diplomatic.
You've got to say that was a sweet best of the week.
Yes, indeed. Thanks for always putting that together, Havel. The best of the week every Friday here in the WIB Wake Up Show.